and the squadron. They called him Bullets, but we call him Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly is on the air on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Is this still Hurricane Ian rain we're in the middle of, I guess? Wow, steady rain. It never rains steady like this. I guess it does, but it's a factor. It's a factor in your commute. It's a factor in your life. I personally don't mind. It's a cozy feeling. It gives me a cozy feeling. And maybe I need one because somebody said, I read it in a book once. I think it was, I'll get back to that in a second. But the quote is this: politics will break your heart. Politics will break your heart. I believe that was uttered by a guy named George Romney, actually Mitt Romney's father, who was a governor of Michigan and ran for president and wasn't very good at politics. Wouldn't have broken your heart so much if you were a little bit better at politics. Same goes for your son as well. But it can break your heart. It's why a lot of good people don't go into politics. A lot of good people do. They take their chances. And I really feel terrible about what's happening down in Georgia right now. I want Herschel Walker to win. I'm rooting for him big time. I think he's a great guy. I love his story. I love his honesty. I really first kind of became aware of his political acumen during the Republican National Convention in 2020. Of course, Herschel Walker is the famous football player, right? He's the he won the Heisman Trophy. Didn't he play for Trump for a while on the New Jersey Generals and a bunch of other teams? And he was one of those guys who was so good at athletics, he even thought about playing baseball for a while, too. He was really, really good. Growing up, we were kind of in awe of Herschel Walker. And the word about him was he got into such great shape without lifting weights. He was strictly a push-up, sit-up, pull-up guy, which is really interesting. And I think you can kind of, that's all you need. You can use the fancy equipment, too, but push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups, and if you do those religiously, you're there, if you can do them. Anyway, so Herschel Walker is a conservative running for Senate in Georgia, and he's running against Raphael Warnock, who's a total nutcase, radical, leftist lunatic who, I believe, has done just about everything they're accusing Herschel Walker of. You know, oh, Herschel Walker's personal life is in turmoil, and he left his wife, and this and that, and I've actually seen video of Raphael Warnock in a domestic dispute with his wife, and the cops show up. This happened a couple of times, more than once. All right, so what's the news about Herschel Walker? His son Christian came. This is what we call an October surprise, right? Something comes out the October before Election Day. And I guess Christian Walker is just up and down criticizing his dad. Number one, let's hear from Herschel Walker first, because the new allegation is he paid for an abortion in 2009. Now, I looked through all the evidence. Number one, I don't believe that. I don't actually believe it. And number two, let's say it's true for a moment. You know, a lot can happen to a person in 13 years. Are you the same person you were 13 years ago? That's 2009. That's a long time ago. Christian Walker, who pretends that he knows all this stuff, was 10. He was 10 years old. Christian Walker is the son of Herschel. He's very flamboyant, quite frankly, but he's also very talented. He hates liberals. He's like a TikTok, YouTube superstar. He's really good at it. Here he is in happier days. Christian Walker, son of Herschel Walker, cut 60.
Joe Biden, your comments disgusted me today. Black America has been fighting stereotypes that we all have to speak a certain way, that we all have to act a certain way, and that we all have to vote a certain way for years. You said if we don't vote for you, we ain't black? Who are you to determine who's black and who's not? Who are you to determine blackness? You do not get a pass from racism just because you're an old white liberal. You showed your true colors today, sir, and you lost a lot of black America today. Thank God.
Yeah, that was a great point. Remember when you said that to Charlemagne? If you have a question as to whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black. It was about one of the most racist things you could say. Christian Walker very appropriately calling him out. And yeah, he's definitely a little bit, Look, he's very effeminate and whatever. He's living his best life, and I actually followed him on Twitter. I still follow him on Twitter. But this is a disgrace. I'm sorry. You don't come out against your father 1 month before the election. 1 month, and you had a good relationship. I see all these pictures of the two of you. You spoke warmly about your dad. You went to campaign events, at least one of them, when he was a candidate for the U.S. Senate. And now, 1 month to go. This is it, man. Look, there's a lot on the line. This is bigger than Georgia, Christian. And here he goes, ripping his dad to pieces, trying to at least. Cut 58.
And so for the right to say I'm being suspicious for saying, hey, I'm done with the lies, when you all have been calling me saying, is this true about your dad? Gosh, we're not going to win Georgia, this candidate all. That's been you. You have no idea what I've been through in my life. You have no idea what me and my mom have survived. We could have ended this on day one. We haven't. I haven't told any stories. I'm just saying, don't lie. Don't lie on my mom. Don't lie on me. Don't lie on the lives you've destroyed and act like you're some moral family man. Y'all should care about that, conservatives.
Well, everybody's got a past. I don't want to know about your dirty laundry. Every family's got a little bit of dirty laundry, right? I mean, every family is dysfunctional in some way, in some way. And you put your arm around your father and embraced him and supported his run for the Senate. Yeah, I guess you could have ended this a long time ago. But now that you're trying it so close to Election Day, it makes people wonder about your motivations. It makes people wonder about, you know, were you ever really sincere in all those videos you posted? Maybe this was just a shortcut to TikTok stardom. Because quite frankly, people who spout the liberal line, who quite frankly come across as you, that's not as unique or interesting, to be honest. It's not. So is that just a shortcut to TikTok fame? I don't know. Let's see here. What does Herschel say about all this? Well, number one, I thought it was great. He said, you know what? No matter what, I love my son. And I thought that was the thing to say. All right. Well, did he pay for an abortion in 2009 or what? Cut 55.
Here with reaction, Georgia Senate candidate Herschel Walker. Let's start with the Daily Beast, Herschel. I mean, serious accusations that in 2009 that you paid for an abortion. First question, do you know the woman that is making this allegation?
I have no idea, but it is a flat-out lie. And now you know how important this seat is. This seat is very important that they'll do anything to win this seat, lie, because they want to make it by everything else except what the true problems that we have in this country is, this inflation. The border wide open, crime. They don't want to talk about that. So they're making up lies now because they need this Georgia seat. So I'm going to encourage anyone out there, let's not let them take this seat. If you can go to teamherschel.com, let's not let them take this seat because if they take this seat, we won't recognize this country tomorrow.
Teamherschel.com. That sounds like a great idea to me. Count me in for 10 bucks. I'm sorry. Maybe a little bit more. But remember what we talked about yesterday, $10 from 100 people is a hell of a lot better than $1,000 from one person. It really is. So you got the power. You got the power. And by the way, when Herschel Walker's campaign lawyer, you know, when he took a call from the Daily Beast, they wouldn't even tell him who the accuser was. They wouldn't tell him who the accuser was. And by the way, isn't it like in America, could he have prevented this? 2009, an abortion. Could he have prevented it? It's up to the woman, right? It was the woman's choice. It is the woman's choice in Georgia. Right now it is. What did Herschel have to do with it? What did Herschel have to do with that? Nothing. Nothing. Her choice. Very, very, very suspicious. The whole damn thing. Politics will break your heart. Now they're tearing a family apart. I guess it was... I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Christian. You blew it. You blew it. Let me hear from Herschel again. Cut 56.
I knew what I was getting into when I signed up. You know, first thing somebody said is that, oh, you're conservative, you're black. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with I love America. It has to do I love the Constitution. I believe in the law of taxes. I believe in law and order. I believe in the people. You know, they want to continue to tell us that we're a racist country full of racist people. We're a bad country. And I'm saying we're a good country. We're full of good people. But what we got to do is we got to come together. I believe in unity. I believe in bringing people together.
I love it. I love it. And It's not germane what happened in 2009. It isn't. It's who you are now. It is who you are today. It is what you stand for today. You know, the days of, oh, my gosh, we only have to have certain people are in the United States Senate. You know, you have to look a certain way. You have to sound a certain way. You have to go to a certain school. You know, you had to be John Kerry to be a United States senator. No. No, we don't care about that stuff anymore. All right? We don't. You got to be able to win. You got to be able to connect. And you got to have the principles we agree with, all right? You got that's what it's about. You got to be able to win. You got to be able to connect. And you got to believe what we believe, at least in terms of my vote. Fair enough, right? I mean, so Herschel's going to do this. Herschel is going to do this. And damn those Democrats for doing this right now, this late in the game. And you know what? Did you get that video of Raphael Warnock's wife? So Raphael Warnock is, you know, I hear from Christian Walker that there's all kinds of problems in the family. Maybe, maybe not, whatever. Every family has problems. But I have this from police body cam. Mrs. Warnock complaining about Raphael, the incumbent senator, Raphael Warnock in Georgia, the man Herschel Walker is running against. Let me hear the police body cam video, please.
This man's running for the United States Senate, and all he cares about right now is his reputation. I work at the mayor's office, and this is a big problem. I've been trying to be very quiet about the way that he is for the sake of my kids and his reputation. I've tried to keep the way that he acts under wraps for a long time, and today he crossed the line. So that is what is going on here, and he's a great actor. He is phenomenal at putting on a really good show.
Wow. Again, that's not some TikTok video. That's not some tweet. That's police body cam footage of a poor woman in distress with a nut job husband, Raphael Warnock, radical leftist trying to destroy America. And he's a good actor. Apparently, he's a real bad tyrant at home. Pray for these families. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly, on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hey, can you believe this thing at Marist College? Marist College, family weekend this weekend. They usually have it in the fall. You know, the freshmen, the sophomores, juniors, seniors, they've all settled in. And then it's time to invite the family up to check out the campus, see what's going on, all kinds of beautiful, fun activities. And there was a horrible shooting at a nearby hotel. I think it's one of those Marriott Courtyard things. And poor McGuy from Long Island, 53 years old. He's a father of a student at Marist. He goes down to the lobby to get a cup of coffee. And some guy who is high, literally on angel dust, PCP. It's 7:30 in the morning, and he's living at the hotel, homeless. Hey, Marriott Courtyard may want to think about, you know, when I check into a Marriott Courtyard, I don't think I'm checking into a homeless shelter. You guys actually have a decent reputation. What the hell's going on there? So this guy goes into the lobby, and I guess that Mr. PCP, Angel Dust, at 7:30 in the morning, somebody looked at him funny, so he took out his gun and starts shooting all over the place and kills this guy from Long Island, a 53-year-old accountant, father of, I think, three. Let me just get his name here. And Marist College, good college, let's see. Bill, you know, the polls come from Marist. Who else? Bill O'Reilly went there. Here's the chief of police. What's going on? Chief of Police, let me just hear what he has to say.
There were materials that could be used to make explosives and some manuals regarding how to put explosives together. We did not find any explosive devices, though.
All right. What the? They were trying to build a bomb inside the courtyard by Marriott. From the Post, the father who was shot dead by a stray bullet while visiting his kid during family weekend at Upstate Marist College was a 53-year-old CPA from Long Island. Paul Coots, first identified by the Poughkeepsie Journal, was killed while standing inside the lobby of a local courtyard by Marriott on Sunday morning. The father of three was hit in the chest and torso by bullets fired during a fight between two homeless men inside the hotel. Two male suspects were staying at the hotel and were arrested at the scene. both have criminal records. Roy Johnson Jr., 35, who's accused of pulling the trigger, was charged with second-degree murder and second-degree criminal possession of a weapon. Johnson had gotten into an argument with hotel workers and others in the lobby when he opened fire, striking Coots in what senior law enforcement officials called a random act. It was a Glock handgun, but it was made fully automatic, fired off more than two dozen shots. I'm looking at pictures of him with his family at the beach. Devin Taylor, 26, was also arrested on charges of second-degree criminal possession of a weapon, carrying a loaded rifle with no serial number. Investigators searched a hotel room the men shared and discovered materials that could be used to make explosives, as well as bomb-making manuals. We just heard that from the chief of police. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives is investigating. Authorities believe there is no threat to the public at this time, except everywhere else you go. What a beautiful family here. His wife, Natalie. The suspects had been smoking a PCP-like substance in their room before the shooting. Great way to start the day, huh? A little bit of angel dust? Marist College on Monday confirmed the death of the student's parent. Yesterday morning, authorities made us aware of the tragic fatal shooting of a parent of a Marist College student at a local hotel several miles from campus. Our deepest condolences. The shooting came as the school celebrated family weekend, in which students are encouraged to invite their families for sports, entertainment, and other activities. It's one of those highlights of life. You know what I mean? It really is one of those joyous moments of life. So, who you voting for? Who you voting for? Where's Kathy Hochul been on this, by the way? Has she made the crime epidemic priority 1, 2, 3, 7, 9, 15? No. No, she's just trying to ride out this clock. She just is wearing that stupid governor's jacket, waving as she's surrounded by security like she's Queen Elizabeth. Lee Zeldin, we are rooting for you. If you want to do something right now, 10, 15, 20 bucks, whatever you got for Lee Zeldin, our lives depend on it. Our lives depend on it. You know what happened? And here's proof. Here's proof. It's not just in 2020 when this city and state and country were on fire, all right? Black Lives Matter. Remember that nonsense, right? The complete and total overreaction to the George Floyd matter and just all of this violence, looting, assaulting police officers. What did she say her job was as the lieutenant governor? She got up publicly and said, my job right now as lieutenant governor of the third largest state in the country is to sit back and listen. Sit back and listen. Sit back and listen. She's not remotely capable for this big job. Please do the right thing, everybody. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hey, one more thing on this Marist situation. And one more thing. I'm not going to forget it. I'm not going to forget about Allison Russo Elling, that amazing EMT. Veteran of the FDNY, stabbed on the damn sidewalk on a 2:30 in a weekday afternoon, just after getting a sandwich. But, you know, we, the general public, when things go south, when things get really screwed up, we become one nasty kind of group. You know, the moment something goes wrong, we pick up the phone and we start yelling and screaming and complaining on, you know, oh, American Airlines, I'm late 15 minutes. Screw you. I want answers. I don't know. Maybe I'm nitpicking, but so there's a shootout in a hotel. That's a bad, bad, bad thing. People die. Okay. So what do you do if you're management? What do you do if you're Marist College? What do you do? I mean, this is not exactly something you experience every day. So some guy, we're not going to say his name, and I can't nitpick him either too much because he's going through something. But what does he do? He's like complaining because he's held up. He's delayed. He takes out his phone and starts. Can I hear that, please? You know that thing?
Here we are at the Marriott residence. They've moved all these people here. Nobody knows what to do, what's going on. When are we going back? When are we getting to our cars? Nobody's eating. People are missing flights. It's kind of an ordeal.
Well, count your blessings. You're not dead. I'm sorry, but have you seen Americans lately? We're all doing pretty well when it comes to nutrition. Hey, no one's eating. We're missing planes. I don't believe this. How could they be so careless? Somebody just got shot. They're figuring out what to do next. All right? Please? Please? What do you think, huh? What do you think? Tudor Dixon was on my show last night. She is running for governor of Michigan. There is some real talent out there. Who do I like? I like Tudor Dixon. I like Carrie Lake. I like Blake Masters, that guy in Arizona. I really like Dr. Oz. Of course, I'm pulling for Herschel, J.D. Vance. On the congressional side, J.R. Majewski. But here's Tudor Dixon. I like the way she puts it. Listen to this. Cut 40.
We're not going to let our kids be radicalized. We're not going to let our kids be sexualized. We're not going to let our law enforcement be demonized. We're not going to tell our businesses they can't expand. And everything I've said about Gretchen Whitmer's record is true. Stop trying to make re-election happen, Gretchen.
I think there's something like there's something extra nasty between Gretchen and the world. Gretchen is a mean girl. I know a mean girl when I see one. I'm sorry. I don't care if that's sexist or whatever. I've seen how she's run Michigan. Bad news. Hey, one more thing. Excuse me. It's a National Hispanic Day, and we got a great feast. I see Fox News is calling it National Taco Day. I think it's National Hispanic Day. I don't know. But great food, great people. Remember I told you about the Donald Trump? He said, you know, Mitch McConnell is so bad, I think he has a death wish. He's always approving all this crazy legislation. It stinks. What's wrong with him? He hates Trump, I know. He must have a death wish approving all this stuff. Well, of course, death wish is just a figure of speech. And everybody went nuts about the death wish thing. Let's see here. Here's somebody, fake news, obsessing over the death wish. Yeah, cut 26.
It's hard to know where to start with the assassination instructions or the blatant racism. This is outrageous. It's beyond the pale. Every Republican ought to be able to say so.
Very obvious racist and, frankly, a death threat to his colleague.
You think it was a death threat?
Even if it wasn't, the crazy people who stormed the Capitol, for example, right. See it as
it was in all caps. Read it.
You can't put in full caps about Mitch McConnell that he has a death wish. We know that he's essentially calling his supporters to behave as though they did on January 6th or worse.
Well, that's insane, obviously, because the term death wish is used all the time by a lot of people to say all kinds of things. It's a figure of speech. And where's that person I have doing that in the just saying it? Oh, yeah, here we go. It's in pop culture, death wish all the time. It's just a thing. It means doing something against your own self-interests or people you care about, their self-interests. Cut 42.
Some people in life, they play stupid, and I think they just have a death wish or something.
But society has a death wish.
Death wish coffee, fiercely caffeinated.
Does that mean an assassination attempt coffee? Is this glorifying assassination? No, it's not. Listen to how stupid they are, how deceitful they are. Chuck Dodd, cut 27.
Susan, I want to pivot a little bit to Donald Trump. He has used some, as always, his rhetoric seems to get more extreme and we get sometimes numb to it. He issued a death threat against, I don't know any other way to put it, against Mitch McConnell.
You don't know any other way to put it. You don't know any other way to put it. He doesn't know any other way to put it. It's a death threat. It's a death threat. You don't know any other way. Let me see. How would you put it? All right. How would we put it? Let me see here. Let's just read it one more time. Is McConnell approving all of these trillions of dollars worth of Democrat-sponsored bills without even the slightest bit of negotiation because he hates Donald J. Trump and he knows I am strongly opposed to them? Or is he doing it because he believes in the fake and highly destructive Green New Deal, and is willing to take the country down with him? In any event, either reason is unacceptable. He has a death wish. Must immediately seek help and advice from his China-loving wife, Coco Chow. He is a death wish. That's not an assassination. That's not a cult. That's not a death threat. How dare you guys? How dare you guys? Chuck Todd, when you use the phrase death wish, which you do all the time, here you go, in 2016, here he is. Is he calling for the death of Republicans? Listen to what he said. Cut 28.
When we come back, the Republican Party has 31 governorships, the most senators since 2005, and the most members of the House since the Hoover presidency. So why does it seem as though the party has a death wish when it comes to trying to win the White House?
Well, I just don't know any other way to put it. Chuck Todd obviously issued a death threat. Issued a death threat to Republicans, just obviously. Obviously. I know no other way to put it. And on and on and on like that. On and on and on. Oh, as far as the other stuff, Coco Chow, did you see my show last night? I showed everybody my two favorite Cocos. Coco Chanel, was a real person, you know, Chanel handbags, the perfume, all that stuff. She was white. And Coco T, Ice T's wife, Coco. I'm not sure of her ethnicity, but she's not Asian. There's nothing remotely anti-anything about this. Now, regarding the anti-China, the China-loving stuff, yes, there are a lot of our politicians who are pro-China. It has nothing to do with her ethnicity. It has to do with the family's business ties. Has to do with the overt conflict of interest, both for her when she was transportation secretary and for Mitch McConnell every day that he's majority leader or minority leader, Mitch McConnell. Now, the American people will ultimately have to make this decision, but right now I am concerned about the quality of candidates across the country. And Donald Trump insists on using his divisive technique. Shut up, Mitch. Man, what a loser. We got a big country. We got a big country. We got Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell. The whole system is rigged. Do you know how much money his father-in-law gave him? Whose father-in-law, by the way, makes his money, about 70% of it, in China. I showed a ship last night. A huge cargo ship, like twice the size of an aircraft carrier, that his father-in-law constructed. Where did he construct it? Did he construct it at the Brooklyn Navy Yard? No. He built it in Shanghai at a communist-run facility. Biggest ship in the world. Do you think that might be a conflict of interest? And you know what he did? Oh, here's where it gets really wild. He gave his son-in-law in 2008 or so $25 million as a gift, as a gift, as a gift. Your father, I mean, this is very suspicious. And you know what? Before, well, even the New York Times knows that this is a problem, a real problem, a real, real big problem. So, yes, I think Elaine Chao is China loving. And you know what? Coco is a fine, what the hell? Call her Coco. Why not? Everybody needs a nickname. Coco. I think it works. Coco, like Coco Chanel. Because when you got $25 million, you're not shopping at Kmart. And that reminds me, I saw some guy on Fox News yesterday. He was wearing a trench coat like McGruff the crime dog. Remember him? It was just the most cheese. You can't wear trench coats anymore. And all that connotes. You know what I mean? It connotes... It's not 1978, and I don't think London fog exists anymore. You gotta wear Michael Kors or what's another affordable brand? Michael Kors or Tommy Hilfiger. They make great raincoats, but you can't do the trench coat anymore. I gotta say something about Michael Fanon. You heard me refer to this guy yesterday. Cut 35, please. This is what made him somewhat famous, cut 35.
What happened afterwards is much less vivid. I had been beaten unconscious and remained so for more than 4 minutes.
Stop. He is the Metropolitan Police Department officer, Washington, D.C. police. And this is probably a bad move. He just showed up at the January 6th thing, like on his own. He's self-deployed, which is a thing with him. He self-deploys. He doesn't listen to his bosses. He just goes wherever the hell he wants. And somehow, this police officer thinks that a riot is beneath him, like that somehow it's just that he should never have to deal with this kind of stuff, which I think you learn at the police academy. Sooner or later, you will. And here he is whining about it to the whole damn country. Go ahead.
I know that Jimmy helped to evacuate me from the building and drove me to MedStar Washington Hospital Center, despite suffering significant injuries himself. At the hospital, doctors told me that I had suffered a heart attack, and I was later diagnosed with a concussion, a traumatic brain injury, and post-traumatic stress disorder.
And then a week later, if you really had all those injuries, why were you doing media interviews 1 week after January 6th? In uniform, looking totally fine. I think he's overstating his injuries. I really do. What happened next, please?
Right now, one of those parties has a cancer, and we got to cut it out.
Yeah, this is a guy who's not political. Why am I talking about him? There's a big Rolling Stone piece about him. And poor guy, quite frankly, has been exploited and abused by the left-wing media, CNN, Democrat politicians all over the place who pretend they're friends with him. They've used him. And now it seems to me like he's out of options. I mean, what do you do after this? He left the police department in a huff. You know, after you've been on national television and Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden are kissing your ass, are you really going to listen to your sergeant anymore? So he walks the hell off the job. He doesn't get a pension because he left prematurely, I think. Now he's in real trouble. He gets a couple of bucks here and there from, CNN. Although, you know what I think is probably going to happen if it hasn't happened already? There he is whining about money. I think he's going to get a payout from George Soros or one of those guys. How do I know this? You know, Alexander Vindman, if you remember that guy, the goofy, fat army officer who thought he knew how to run the country better than the president of the United States? Do you know even his wife has a book deal? Even his wife got a podcast? Now his wife, who's just, you know, an ordinary person, believe me, very ordinary, is commenting on national issues on MSNBC. Now, this was a hookup. This was all arranged ahead of time. If I come forward to help you guys, what's in it for me? I have no doubt. And you know what? They may not even have had to have had such an explicit conversation. I think it could be just, you know, understood. Understood. A wink and a nod. A lot. It goes very, very far. Hey, what's going on with Ukraine? I want this war to be over. I'm glad the Ukrainians are winning, but why isn't anybody talking about peace? When are we going to call it a day? How much money have we spent? $70 billion, $100 billion? And I hear from very well-placed sources that even some of this money is managing to get its way to the people who need it. Some of it actually is. A lot of it is going up in smoke. Corruption, this bribe that guy. $70 billion. Look, countries have been invading countries since countries. This is between Russia and Ukraine. I'm sorry. Enough is enough. Peace. Let's have some peace. Be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
All right. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. Let's see here. Gary is on Staten Island. You guys get very touchy about in Staten Island or on Staten Island, don't you? Hi, Gary.
No, I got over that, you know. Greg, you just mentioned something that Elon Musk this week, President Trump last week, and before that Henry Kissinger have all been talking, as you just did, about the need for a peace settlement of some kind sooner rather than later vis-a-vis Ukraine and Russia. And I know Elon Musk is getting beat up as we speak over this. What are your thoughts on this more fully, perhaps?
Wow. Hey, once again, I'm on the same wavelength as mega genius diplomat Henry Kissinger. Look, I've had enough of the war. Enough. It's between them also. It really is. I want Ukraine to win. But I actually can't worry about it all that much. You know how many wars are going on right now on the continent of Africa? I mean, war is part of the human condition. It is. And Russia can kind of, I mean, Ukraine used to be part of Russia, right? I mean, like they were once the same country. I understand, I guess, before that they weren't. I can't get wrapped up in it. I can't. I don't trust Zelensky. I don't trust Putin. I think everyone's gone overboard for Zelensky because he looks good in that stupid green T-shirt. I mean, not a stupid green T-shirt. He's up against a lot. But who the hell is this guy? Do I trust him? No. Is Ukraine really a democracy, by the way? Ukraine, not very long ago, was the most corrupt country in the world, one of the top three. One of the top three, officially, one of the top three. Also, it's one of the most anti-Semitic places on earth. Now I hear Zelensky happens to be Jewish. Well, I happen to know, and I am dismayed by a lot of Jews who are, what do they call them, anti-Zionists. They don't believe in the state of Israel. So I want to wrap this thing up. And yes, no one's been talking about peace. I'm glad that, you know what Trump did, actually. Remember Trump said, you know, maybe make me the head of the committee. All right, that's where I am on that. I want this thing over. I can't get worried about their ancient squabbles. I just can't. I can't. I hate to see the images. I hate that it's happening. They started it. Now it's time to finish it. And if we can help, we could. Gary, I'm no diplomat. But you know what? The diplomats, the eggheads of the world, they often start these crises. We would not have had an Iraq war if it wasn't for all those silly so-called brainiacs like, what was his name, Paul Wolfowitz and Nicholas Burns at the State Department. Thought they were so smart about precision military application of force. Having been in the military, I can tell you nothing is particularly precise about the military. All right. It's just when you send 150,000 guys in to do something, bad stuff is going to happen. It's one of the many reasons to avoid war. Sometimes war is necessary, but bad things happen in war. One of the many reasons to avoid it, one of the many reasons why it should be a last resort. And Putin didn't even know this because Putin's never been to combat. He's never seen this stuff. Anyway, Gary, those are my thoughts. What are yours? What's wrong?
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
All right. Thanks, Gary. Scintillating conversation on my part. George in Rockland. George, what's up?
Hey, Greg. So, United Nations has NGO which are operating along the southern border. And basically, they're counseling those illegals what to say. As a result, a lot of them ending up here. So my question
is... Wait a second. Hold on a second. There's a United Nations group operating on the southern border. What is this group?
Well, it's an NGO, okay?
Non-governmental organization. But what is it and which one and what are they advocating?
They basically are there to assist those illegals what to say.
Yeah, giving them talking points to say, like, I come from I'm politically oppressed in Venezuela. I seek asylum. Saying stuff like that guarantees them basically a ticket in, right?
Exactly. You got it. Okay, now, the majority of them, I would say over 99%, are basically what you call coming here because economic reason, not because there's a threat for my life here, okay?
So yeah.
A lot of them end up around the country. So my question here is, the United Nations compound it's a big, big area here in a city here. Instead of putting them somewhere around the Bronx or Queens, okay, why don't they house all of them, since they have a hand in those people getting here, why don't they house them in tents on United Nations ground?
All right, that's a cute idea. I wouldn't want to see that, number one. You know why? Because it's right next door to my beloved Tudor City. Tudor City is an apartment complex right across the street from the United Nations, and I lived there for about a year, 20 years ago, and I loved it. I loved it. Very charming neighborhood. And, well, what do they say? There goes the neighborhood if you bring in all those tents. Hey, but Eric totally screwed it up. More on that when I come back. Thank you, George.
This is Greg Kelly. To my friends in the construction business, if you've been injured on the job, make just one call to the Construction Accident Lawyers at the law offices of Darren T. Moore. With hundreds of five-star reviews, they fight for more justice for every client and have secured millions of dollars in compensation for New York construction workers. Call 888-444-ATTY. That's 888-444-2889 for a free consultation. More diligence, more persistence, and more justice. Prior results don't guarantee similar outcomes.
Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative
on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Wow. I just saw this. Joe Biden is down there in Puerto Rico. Why did he go to Puerto Rico? I mean, we got a hurricane. I mean, he seems to be the hurricane just hit. And don't they usually go in the days? I don't know. He's in Puerto Rico. And I know they were hit a while ago, but it seems a little bit out of sequence. Whatever. But Joe being Joe, and there being a group of people in front of, he thinks he has to seduce them. He thinks he has to charm them, and he thinks he can. The world has changed since 1972 when he first entered the political scene, where you could basically say anything, anywhere, and no one would have the wherewithal, the ability to find the inconsistency or the lie. You could get away with a lot more. You can today. So what does he say here? Does this ring true to you? Have you ever heard him say anything like this on this Hispanic Day? What does he say? Cut four.
I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community at home politically. And so we came here for a long time, both for business and pleasures.
What the hell Puerto Rican community is there in Wilmington, Delaware? I've been there a few times. I don't know. Pardon me. I would imagine that people of all races are kind of everywhere. But, of course, Joe has to take it the next step. I take it you did not bleep that out. Is that why you guys are laughing? Is that why you guys are giggling to you? You've never heard anybody burp? All right. Is that a big deal? Excuse me. Did you dump it? Are you sure about that? All right. Well, is it that funny? You guys giggling? What are you, in fourth grade back there? I know you dress like you're in seventh grade. Oh, I know you don't like that, Kevin. Hey, what's your name, by the way? Ryan runs the phone system. And with that, I haven't taken enough phone calls, they say. So, Stu in Brooklyn. Yes, sir.
Hey, Greg. Is your last name Kelly or Chamberlain? I hear you advocating the same thing that Neville Chamberlain did when he stepped off the plane from Munich and told the world, I have here a piece of paper signed by Herr Hitler guaranteeing peace.
Yeah, that's me. That's me. Throw in the towel, Kelly. That's me, all right. There are about 75,000 differences between the situation that Neville Chamberlain walked into, World War II, and what's going on right now. Now, number one, we all know that the Russian military is expended, over. All they got are nukes and chemical weapons, and they can't use them. It's not going to help them achieve whatever the hell it is they want. It's not going to help them. There's no way there's going to be an incursion into Europe by that broken down, drunken army. Absolutely not. There is virtually no threat to Western Europe of a land invasion. If they screw around with the nukes, well, God help them. All right, Stu, I'm sorry. There's no analogy. None. Zero. You're wrong. Goodbye. Now, what do you want to say about that?
I think you're wrong. I think that.
Oh, I think you're wrong. No, all right, Stu. Look, we can agree to disagree, but I don't want to be like I don't want to be like one of those guys. So, say your final piece.
Greg, you there?
Yes.
You know, the war over there could have ended very, very quickly if you sent a couple of operators into Russia to take out all of the petroleum facilities that are the source of the wealth to carry it on by Putin in the first place.
Oh, it's as easy as it's. You're right. It's easy as pie. It just send a couple of operators in. Hey, what do you mean by operators? The SEALs. What do you mean by operators?
Absolutely not. I'm talking. You go out
the CIA. The CIA. What are you talking about, Stu? Because I'm just saying what you're talking about is incredibly complicated, risky, dangerous, and can backfire. You remind me of Paul Wolfowitz. You know, what we can do is send in some of the, some of those clandestine types, and they can take care of it. And just take them out. So, Stu, tell me a little bit about your background in the intelligence and military communities.
Well, I'm a...
Dad, got you there, Stu!
Happened a long time before you were born, laddie.
You were in what?
Bay of Pigs.
What did you do in the Bay of Pigs? And how old are you?
I was a young lieutenant aboard the USS San Marcos, which brought the tanks that the Cubans used. For 60 years, it was a deep, dark secret. We were sworn under penalty of court-martial if we ever revealed it. I go online, and the whole story is online.
I was going to say, 60 years. I mean, everybody kind of, the books have been written about the Bay of Pigs and what a screw-up job that was. I mean, not your fault, of course, but Kennedy. Hey, how do you feel about Kennedy? Be honest. John F. Kennedy.
A little factoid about the Kennedy assassination. The Bay of Pigs planner was a guy named Cable. He was an Air Force three-star. After it was such a fiasco that it was, General Cable was fired, basically. His career was over. He was forced to resign by Kennedy. When Kennedy was killed in Dallas.
Wait, did you say Wait. Did you say General Walker?
Cable.
Oh, Cable. Okay, keep going.
Charles
Walker, I'm listening.
Cable. When Kennedy was killed in Dallas, the mayor of Dallas was the general's brother.
I thought it was some guy named Yarmouth, Yorty or something like that. All right, so it was the general's brother. Are you sure about that, Mayor Cable?
The only one who had the whole thing straight was a guy named Hawkins, Jack Hawkins. Jack was a Marine colonel, World War II.
What do you mean he had the whole thing straight? What do you mean by that?
Because he said at the outset, before it went anywhere, it was going to fail because of one obvious thing that he saw, and he tried to get the CIA to back away from it.
Oh.
And what he realized was the geniuses had put the Cuban mercenaries in training before the operation in a town called Recalio.
Hey, let me tell you something about the JFK assassination. It was Oswald, and he did it by himself. And I know how he got the idea, and nobody knows this really except for me. I'm serious. So get this, pal. You can look it up. It's in the Warren Commission. Young Lee Harvey Oswald lived in New York City in the summer of, I believe, 1953 or 4. Might have been in the 1950s. He's here for about 4 or 5 months visiting his brother, half-brother, John Pick, who works on Governor's Island. All right, so John Pick has an apartment at 325 East 92nd Street. Now, that address is in the Warren Commission, 325 East 92nd Street. Now, Lee Harvey Oswald is not a good house guest, all right? He's sitting around watching a lot of TV, gets into fights with John Pick's wife, you know, and it's just a mess. Ultimately, they're kicked out. But what's on television that summer? A replay of the movie The House on 92nd Street. There's a movie called The House on 92nd Street. And it's about a spy ring, a Nazi spy ring that operates out of a house on 92nd Street in Manhattan. And he's living in that house at that time. And he thinks, oh my gosh, this movie is really speaking to me. This is what drove him to Russia. This is what drove him actually into the military. This is what drove him into this delusion that he's some great man who's going to alter history. The House on 92nd Street. I'm actually working on a little mini series about this, and I think you're going to like it. But nobody has really figured out the motivation, and I have pinpointed it to the channel, to the time. I got to dust this off because I've been working on it for a while. It's fascinating, if I do say so myself. And Stu, I appreciate your call, okay?
Good talking to you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, isn't that wild? You guys find that interesting? I'm telling you, he lived on 92nd Street, Lee Harvey Oswald. You know who lived on 94th Street? Barack Obama. Now, I'm not saying there's a connection, but you never know. I'm only kidding. Barack Obama was, I think he was 2 years old when Kennedy was assassinated. Let me do one more call. We usually don't do them this around now, but with Pete in Piscataway, yes, sir.
Hello. What was Herschel Walker's answer to the reporter who asked him if he knew the woman who accused him of the abortion?
I believe he said he did not know the person. As a matter of fact, let me play that clip from Hannity again. Cut 55. I think he says right off the top he doesn't know who this person is. Cut 55.
Here with reaction, Georgia Senate candidate Herschel Walker. Let's start with the Daily Beast, Herschel. I mean, serious accusations that in 2009 that you paid for an abortion. First question, do you know the woman that is making this allegation?
I have no idea, but it is a flat-out lie. And now you
hear
know
it?
How important this seat is. This seat is very important that they're doing.
You got it, Pete?
He didn't answer the question.
No, he did. All right, relax, Pete. Pete, I want to play it one more time just out of curiosity because I think he just said it right there. He's not answering the question. Go ahead.
Daily Beast, Herschel. I mean, serious accusations that in 2009 that you paid for an abortion. First question, do you know the woman that is making this allegation?
I have no idea, but it is a flat-out lie.
All right, stop. He says he has no idea. The Daily Beast, yeah. Excuse me, Pete, the Daily Beast, I don't know if you've read the story, but I have. The Daily Beast actually says, they report that they spoke to Herschel Walker's lawyer. Herschel Walker's lawyer demanded to know the name of the woman, and they would not provide the name of the woman. They would not provide it. So I believe him. But, Pete, if you if you don't think he answered the question, what I recommend is getting your own TV show and inviting Herschel Walker on, and you can really grill him on that.
No, you got me. I'm going to tell you what I think. He didn't say, no, I don't know her. He said, I don't know what.
Oh, Pete, he said, I have no idea. So what's your point? Let's pretend that he didn't. What if he said, yes, I know who it is? What's your point now? Now what do you think? What do you think now?
All right, the point is, it's like Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, I liked him. I'm a conservative. I liked him. But when they asked him if he had sex with Monica Lewinsky, he said no.
Yeah.
And I took that. Wait,
well, no. Pete, you got it wrong, actually. You got it wrong. What they asked him was... He's very clever. That they don't call him Slick Willie for nothing. Okay, so what he said to the public is there is no sexual relation. I had no sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. Now in his head, and he said this in the when he was deposed, what he could say is there is no sexual relationship. Meaning at the moment there is no sexual relationship. I'm not having sex right now. And he also argued that sex is a reproductive act. It's not, and he had oral sex with her, which you cannot get pregnant from. Slick Willie, to be sure. I don't think Herschel is as slick, but read the Daily Beast story, and what do you want, dude? I mean, so what? 2009. Are you the same person you were in 2009? Haven't some things happened to you? No, Pete. I mean, well, I will let you finish, but are you the same person? Don't get so aggravated with me, all right? Please. Are you the same person you were in 2009?
Losing. That's why you ain't letting me say it. Hello?
Yes.
Okay. He said, I did not have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky.
Pete, do me a favor. Pete, we have time. We don't.
Okay.
Do me a favor. I want to finish because I know what it's like to be shouted down by a radio guy, and I don't like it. I'm serious. So, Pete, do me a favor. I want you to say your piece, but we got to take a quick break. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Oh, boy. Do we want to dip into Karine Jean-Pierre's press conference? This nitwit, oh, boy, she's always digging herself a big hole. But they give her a great big pass because, well, it's her. And she's a, Democrat, looks a certain way, and... she can make catastrophic mistakes, and everybody just ignores it, tiptoes around it. Pretty striking. She's just, I don't think it's fair to her to have her in that job. I'm talking about the White House press secretary. Sorry, but not good. Not good. Where is this guy on the phone? Hey, and one of the reasons why I want to hear from you again, Pete, you'll notice today I actually gave the number. I don't always give the number, but today I gave the number. You called. So, Pete, please finish your thought.
Yeah, I'd just like to elaborate on the word that. Clinton said, I did not have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. And by him using that word that, he's telling me not only did he not have sex with her, he don't even know her. And we saw from other films, they knew each other. I could accept it if he said, I did not have sex
Can
with
I jump
Monica
in?
Lewinsky.
Can I jump in for a second?
Yeah, sure.
One thing that... I heard this, actually. I think it might be in his memoirs or he told somebody. But the reason why he said that woman is because momentarily he could not remember her name. Could not remember her name, Monica Lewinsky. And that rings very true to me. I can totally understand that. You know, I once saw a baseball player, very famous baseball player, and some girl who knew a girl who was dating him, I guess she was looking for her phone or looking for his phone, and so she called his phone, and guess what came up in the phone? I guessed it, by the way. Guess what came up in the baseball player's phone when she called it? So they asked me, what do you think came up? I said, well, what city was this in? And they said, Boston. And I said, Boston 2? And she said, "How did you know that? It was just Boston." I said, "Well, oh. And there's because that when he's in town, whatever." And you know, let's face it, Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky was not the only person he was seeing. It's also believed that he was having an ongoing thing with Eleanor Mondale, the daughter of the former vice president, the Democrat nominee for president in 1984. You know, she's dead now, by the way. She was a great reporter. She was on Entertainment Tonight, I think. So I wouldn't make such a big deal about these words that Herschel Walker used.
Well, you know what? What and that are the same to me. It's almost like you and me talking on the phone, and I'm calling you somewhere else, and you know my voice, you know who I am, and you say, "Oh, hello there." It's the same impersonal type of thing.
Pete, let's get. I mean, do you think Herschel was really that calculating when he said that? I don't think so.
Yeah,
but
what's I think he.
All right, what's your point though? What's your point about him? Like, should he drop out or what?
I don't know. No, I don't.
You want this nut job? You want Raphael Warnock in there? Hey, here we have a rumor in the Daily Beast. I don't know how often you read the Daily Beast, but it's a piece of junk, all right? You want to believe the Daily Beast, or do you want to believe police body cam footage of Mrs. Warnock telling police that her husband, Senator Raphael Warnock, is a monster? Go ahead.
This man's running for the United States Senate, and all he cares about right now is his reputation. I work at the mayor's office, and this is a big problem. I've been trying to be very quiet about the way that he is for the sake of my kids and his reputation. I've tried to keep the way that he acts under wraps for a long time, and today he crossed the line. So that is what is going on here, and he's a great actor. He is phenomenal at putting on a really good show.
All right, Pete, so if you live in Georgia, I mean, what do you think is more serious? What do you think is more pressing? Some Daily Beast article or body cam footage of a woman in distress married to Senator Raphael Warnock? I think you know the answer. Anyway, I appreciate it, Pete. I got to go. There's the music. Be back soon.
Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hey, you notice hard work has fallen out of favor, fallen out of fashion. Used to be you work your ass off. That was the way to kind of distinguish yourself in life, in anything. Work hard and talent. Work hard work coupled with talent. Oh my goodness gracious. No limits. No limits in America. But nobody really wants to work anymore, you know? It's just kind of like, because status can come so easily if you just rely on what you look like or who you like to sleep with or what kind of genitals you have or your political viewpoint, all that stuff. That is what distinguishes you now. Just ask our professor friend at NYU, New York University. His name is Maitland Jones, and he just got fired. He just got shown the door by NYU. Why? Because he was a good teacher. Because he would not pass kids who were not good at chemistry. It's an amazing situation down there. And his observations beyond, his name is Maitland Jones, great teacher there for many years, but he got fired because the students thought he was too hard. And a bunch of students got together and they came up with a petition. Now, a lot of students loved the guy. A lot of students thought he was great. It was organic chemistry, which is a really, really tough class. It's like, make or break. If you don't do well in organic chemistry, you really can't go to medical school. It's like one of those pre-med prerequisites. And, a lot of folks, if they don't pass or they don't get a good grade, are unhappy. And I'm sorry, but when it comes to pre-med courses, you really can't screw around. We need doctors who understand molecular biology. That's something you just can't fudge. You have to know this stuff cold. A lot of kids just think, wait a second, I showed up. Wait a second, I'm special. I've been told my entire life I'm special. And the teacher, Maitland Jones, the one who got fired, he said something very interesting. He said about 10 years ago, he started to notice that students lost focus. Students lost focus, and they started to not even comprehend the questions on tests. And then he noticed they weren't studying. And then he even doubled down on that. He said, I don't think they even know how to study. And I think he doesn't say this, but I have a real sneaking suspicion it has something to do with the cell phone. All right. You know, it used to be you go to the library or, you know, some room in your house or whatever. You close the door. You're secluded. You're in there with your book and that's it. Your notebook and your textbooks and buckled down. God forbid there was a TV in there. You can't do TV. You can't do homework with your TV. But now with your cell phone, which everyone has, right, you have access to trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of distractions. Who wants to screw around with organic chemistry when you can watch, I don't know, some Asian all-girl band jump around on stage? When you can watch a tarantula fight a goose? When you can see a cow try to eat a newspaper? I mean, this is the kind of crap that you see on Instagram all the time. I mean, just these weirdo sites, you know, and some are interesting. Most are a waste of time. Anyway, I have a feeling that's why the students started to lose focus. But then they got a real attitude, a real chip on their shoulder. Like, I'm special just for being here. Everybody's told me my entire life I'm great. And they weren't digging this teacher so much. So they fired his ass. I'm like, whatever happened to tenure? Don't they have tenure? Don't they protect with tenure? Well, he was a pretty old guy. He was 84 years old, and which isn't actually that old anymore. They say that the first person to live to 150 years old is alive today. We're going to have people who live that long because of the technology and whatever. So he retired from Princeton 20 years ago and started hanging around NYU, and they started giving him yearly contracts. Well, they fired him because he was too tough a grader. A lot of the administrators, other faculty think this is really, really bad and sets a horrible example. You know, the lunatics are running the asylum, and you know who's really got a lot of sway here? The parents who are footing the bills. And not everybody is meant to be a doctor, and that's a good thing. You know, you just can't have. I couldn't pass organic chemistry. I couldn't. Man, I almost failed basic chemistry in, what do you call it, my 11th grade. I hated that class. Absolutely hated it. And you had to balance the equations. Do you remember balancing chemical equations? I'd never understood that. It seemed like we were fudging the books. It seemed like we were cheating somehow. I didn't understand this. Doesn't it occur in nature? Why am I balancing the equation? Ugh. I thought it was going to be Bunsen burners and burning stuff. No, it was all... Anyway, not for me. Not for me. So Maitland Jones, I'm sorry this happened to you. But there is this. I will say this. Given technology everywhere and that kind of thing, the idea that you're going to go to a classroom and sit down with 50 other kids or 100 other kids or 10 other kids, whatever the number, and somebody is going to stand in front of you and teach you something, I think that's kind of obsolete. I think that's kind of archaic. I actually thought so when I was in school. If you look at a classroom from 2022, it's very similar to a classroom in 1922 or 1822. You know, a bunch of chairs and the teacher sits at the front. I think we've come a long way. I learned this actually in the military because they had these like kind of self modules, these self-guided modules. And you could do a lot of the learning on your own, independent learning. And it was very, very good. The best training I ever underwent, I thought, was when I was trying to get my private pilot's license. And this is a long time ago. This is the 90s, and they had these computer programs that just told you specifically what you needed to know. It made sure that you knew it, and then you took a test to confirm that you actually knew it. Instead of these vague pronouncements from a teacher at the front of the room, and like I couldn't hear, and my daydreaming, and I guess there's still a role for that, but I don't know. And by the way, well, I had some great teachers. The best teacher was Mr. Lapper at Stewart School. That guy was fantastic. But I had some crummy teachers. This one who hit me over the head with a book. I could have had her arrested. By today's standards, I definitely could. She'd probably be in jail right now. Hit me over the head with a book. A hard book. A textbook. It was pretty cool. My parents came in to confront her. And I was there. Actually, I left the room. And, my dad has a certain persuasive way with people. And I was very satisfied with how it was handled. Let's see here. What do we want to do? Should we? Oh, Gene has something to say. Oh, gosh, the Kennedy assassination. I'm sorry I brought it up. I don't want to deal with this all day long. What's up?
Hello, Mr. Kelly.
Yeah.
One very fascinating thing I found out about the Kennedy assassination, Dorothy Kilgallen. Have you read any books about her?
No.
Sure, I think it's the guy who wrote the book. I don't have it handy, but she was phenomenal. The stuff that she knew with the Jack Ruby trial and everything, that she was going to blow the whole Secret Service thing all wide open. She got killed in the 19th Precinct. They beat the cops out of it. The CIA or somebody, they emptied the apartment out. The cops were there. One guy had 17 years on the job. He retired. Just walked off the... Look into Shaw's books.
All right. Well, you're not sure of the name, though. You're not sure that's the name. Dorothy Kilgallen. Look, I'm really not into this stuff. I read it all, and then I finally figured it out. Oswald did it, and he did it by himself. I still find it interesting, but Oswald did it. Case closed. You know, the magic bullet was not magic. You can just look it up. Everything there. It all makes sense. It was him. It was him. It wasn't this grand conspiracy. So I don't know if I have time for this stuff.
Nixon book you just read.
What?
The book on Nixon you were talking about a while ago.
Oh, yeah. The President's Man by Dwight Chapin is very good.
The President's Man. Okay, thank you.
All right, you bet. You bet. You too. Oh, Max in Manhattan. Yes.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. Listen, if we're going to have any honesty when it comes to the primaries or any voting after that, we have to begin to have paper ballots.
I agree. Electronic voting. I agree. What else?
That's it. That'll win us. That'll have all the conservatives.
Well, we're not going to. I mean, it's not. I don't know if it's changing anytime soon. I don't know. The technology kind of. I don't know. But I think paper ballots are the way to go. And one day voting. I mean, everything. They took advantage of. COVID. Hey, I thought you wanted to say something about Warnock. I got a note here that you wanted to say something about Warnock.
That's another day. I'll take it up.
All right. Very good. All right. Yep. Vito in West Hempstead. Yes.
Hey, Greg, just a couple of things quick, if I can.
Vito, don't just go into the thing. Just go into it.
Okay.
Don't announce. I hate it. Do me a favor. Anybody who ever calls, just don't say, yeah, I got a couple of points I'd like to go over. Just go right into the point. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, will do. How much money that we're sending to Ukraine is coming back and going in pockets?
That's a very good question. It's a big, big, big chunk. I'm going to guess about half. $70 to $100 billion has been spent, and very little of it seems to be getting to where it needs to go. What else?
And number two is you really, really need someone to give you a good Windsor knot. Bring that tie up to the neck and tie and pull it. I watch you instead of Laura Ingraham. So
thank you for doing that. Look, I know. Well, look, I mean, don't give me a hard time about my clothes. All right. I mean, come on.
Look great, but somebody's got to get put a nice.
People have been trying. No, I don't want a dimple. I don't like the. Not every tie requires a dimple. You got to understand that. Not every tie requires a dimple. I do a half Windsor, and I think it looks pretty good. But you're right. Look, honestly, to be honest, Vito, I don't know how to tie a full Windsor. I just don't know how to do it. I've tried. My dad has tried to show me. He's got the best knots in the world. You ever notice it? It's like the size of a fist. But I can't figure it out. I've got to do it. I would love to do it. You know, I'm not good with knots. Every shoe I have, I insist on getting a loafer. Because I'm still not good at tying my shoes. I hate to admit it, including sneakers. You know you can get sneaker and loafer form? I'm wearing a pair of sneakers right now that have no laces because of this situation with me and knots. I stink at them. Thank you, Vito. One more. Ray in Miller. Where is Miller Place? It sounds very, very prestigious. Where is Miller Place?
Miller Place is about right next to Mount Sinai, Port Jefferson area.
It sounds, is it ritzy? Is it a high end community? No?
Middle income. Yeah.
Why do you houses, chuckle? Why do you chuckle?
It's Mount Sinai Miller Place area. It's right around there.
All right. You're saying basically it's working class. No?
Yes.
All right. Yes. It doesn't matter. What's up?
Yeah. I'm just retired. I'm talking about, Herschel Walker,
yeah,
and all the October surprises that they're pulling on all these Republicans. Where is Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy digging up some dirt on these Democrats running for Congress? Mitch McConnell, he picks a lot of dirt on Republicans that he doesn't like. But when it comes to the Democrats, it's like hands off. It's always the Democrats with the October surprise, never a Republican.
Seems to be that way, doesn't it? Mitch McConnell. Well, quality of candidates, really. The American people will make that decision, Ray.
I don't like him at all. I want to give Kevin McCarthy the benefit of the doubt. I'm counting on him. I'm told he's a good guy, a hell of a lot better than Mitch McConnell. So we'll see. But you're right about that. And well, you know, part of it is the media. A big chunk of it is the media. Because when we come out with an October surprise, it's, oh, that's misinformation. That's disinformation. Oh, the Russians did it. You can't trust it. When they come out with an October surprise, it's wall-to-wall coverage. I'm CNN right now, just a moment ago. Herschel Walker, campaign in dire straits, all this stuff. So I don't like it, Ray. All right. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. I got to take a quick break, and then I got to get ready for the Newsmax show, but I'll be back in a moment.
Greg Kelly, on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
So the guy who's temporarily mayor, Eric Dum Dum Adams, made that great big tent city right next to Orchard Beach, right next to Co-op City. He has no business making a big migrant refuge next to Co-op City. Those folks don't deserve that. And oh, by the way, the migrants in the tents, they don't deserve the beach right next door. I mean, the flooding that comes with water, the potential for flooding is real. So Eric Dum Dum Adams finally figures this out, and they're moving it to Randall's Island. Here we go. Cut 52.
We know we are not going to be afraid to try different things to solve these unprecedented problems that we're facing in the city.
Oh, you're playing with real money. This is a real, real costly debacle. All right. And it's his fault, along with his dopey OEM manager, some rich kid who has no business with that job. None whatsoever. Can't remember his name, but he stinks. I'm sorry. Now, let's see what else here. Cut 53. So, again, they're moving the tent city that they already started building on Orchard Beach to Randall's Island. But he's so cool about it, right? Cut 53.
One of the most important terms is pivot and shift. And we're going to pivot and shift to solve these problems.
Pivot and shift, as has been pointed out by others. This is the guy who promised to fix the crime problem. I told you all that he had no business. He had no insight, no experience, nothing special. He fooled a hell of a lot of people with his cop talk. I'm a cop. Oh, he must be good at law enforcement. He was a cop. He was a problem cop. It's like taking, let me see. I don't want to use this place as an example. Let me go a couple of TV stations back. If I go up to News Channel 34, where I started, who was the worst person there? They were all good people. I'm trying to think of a good example. You know, let's just take where you work, right? Take, you get the, what industry? Let's say you're in the insurance industry, and let's say you take the worst insurance salesman. He hated insurance. He hated the whole thing. And he was always bad mouthing the company inside and out. And then he leaves and he says, he runs because for insurance commissioner based on all of his experience being an insurance salesman. That's kind of like what it is with Eric Adams. Knows nothing, is nothing, bad, bad guy, and this is going to be a problem. Hey, have you ever heard of somebody named John McEntee? Probably not, but a very important fellow and very impressive. Young guy, I think he's in his early 30s. He was very close to Donald Trump. At the end of the administration, he was director for personnel under Donald Trump. And some said he was basically running the government along with Donald Trump. He was like the deputy president. Pretty amazing. This is what he sounds like. Cut 54.
Well, I started as a volunteer on the campaign in 2015, and different opportunities kept coming along, and the campaign was so small that it was easy to rise through the ranks. I believed in the candidate. I think he was a great president. He was the best boss you could ever ask for, and I'm just incredibly grateful for the opportunity I had there.
Well, again, he's impressive, and he kept his mouth shut, unlike everybody else in government, practically. I want to read you something from Breitbart. They interviewed John McEntee, who is actually right now the CEO of something called The Right Stuff. It's a dating app for conservatives, The Right Stuff. You can download it. This is what John McEntee, the former director of the White House Office of Presidential Personnel, told Breitbart News on Thursday that many of former President Donald Trump's political appointees were NPCs who would cuck when challenged by left-wing pressure campaigns. They couldn't hack the pressure. Now, as for what an NPC is, it's a, let's see here, non-player characters. But what he's getting at is they were worried. Well, let's go right to the story. McEntee said most of Trump's appointees were politically aligned with the 45th president's vision, but lacked strength of character to persevere when targeted by hostile political and news media forces. For the most part, the 3,000 or 4,000 political appointees, most were pro-Trump, he said. The problem was that not that they were against Trump. The biggest problem is that they were NPCs, right? They're non-player characters. A lot of these people just want to build their resume, give West Wing tours, go to the White House Christmas party. They're, in fact, pro-Trump, but it's strictly superficial. He added, so when the game is on the line and it's time to actually ban diversity training, they crack. That's the problem. They wanted to get rid of diversity training, which was highly divisive, a racist program. But when it came time to actually getting rid of it and there was pushback from the swamp, the media, well, you know, they like the swamp. They like the media. They don't want to be ridiculed by them. They did not have the strength of character. It's interesting. The former White House official said political appointees mostly prioritized their careerist ambitions within the framework of D.C.'s dominant left-wing and partisan Democrat political environment. He said they cuck in the face of leftist intimidation operations as a defensive reaction to protect their future prospects within the nation's political industry. Fascinating. Really, really fascinating. Hey, one way to gird against this, and I know most people can or whatever, but, you know, right now, quite frankly, if I look at social media right now, let me see something. I'm actually doing this right now. I'm putting my name in, and let's see how long ago somebody called me something horrible. Let's see here. 41 seconds ago, Greg Kelly, another MAGA Republican who endorses children who are abused. Well, that's not true. Greg Kelly, he let his watch on his hell and held a gun to his then wife's head. They're complaining about, all right, let's see if there's anything really brutal. I mean, oh, God, here we go. Yeah, somebody said something pretty ugly. It doesn't matter. It's like me checking the temperature outside. It's a wonderful gift to be immune from criticism from the mob. It really, really is. Now, most people, unfortunately, don't get there. Or maybe fortunately, because it's, you know, it takes some conditioning. You got to get there. But once you're there, it's totally freeing. I'll talk about it more tomorrow and tonight, Newsmax, 10 o'clock. Many thanks, everybody.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.